The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 179 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Tuesday, December 8th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric Young. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, are you all rested up? Did you get a nice break?
I did. How about you?
Yeah, it's been, you know, I love the podcast. I love doing it. I'm glad we're doing it again. But it's been a little nice, and I haven't worried about it.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. I know. We're getting beat up by Gluck and Bianchi on their off-season series.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of podcasts are still going out there, but it's the off season, man. We're allowed to take a little break.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be hitting back hard probably after the holidays, but we wanted to pop back on here and talk about some stuff. There's been a lot of news that's happened. Most of what we discussed today, you probably already heard about, but we do have a little bit of breaking news today, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Depends
on if you like the breaking news or not.
Exactly.
We'll get into that for a minute here, but
yeah, how cool it is. I don't know. We'll see. But I've been working from home this week, and so I haven't really been keeping up on the other podcasts, so I haven't gotten a chance to listen to Gluck and Bianchi and whatnot. So
yeah, they had a good off-season series. I recommend anybody who's following them, or if you're a subscriber to The Athletic, you probably heard them, but it's on Apple and Spotify as well, I think. So
there you go.
Yeah, they've been doing a good off-season series. That's been good. Trying to think of other content out there. There's not a whole lot. Like
Junior's still doing his podcast, right?
Yep, Junior did a few episodes. He did a two-parter with DW. That was
I did hear some of that. That was really anytime. I mean, you know, give DW the crap you want about being in the booth, but anytime you get stories from DW, it's awesome.
Oh yeah, he's all about
the greatest storyteller. I mean, yeah, he admits that half the time that they're a little embellished, but it's still great stories.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. For sure. I mean, there's been a lot of activity going on. We've had the Snowball Derby and there was sort of a banquet,
right?
Well, Jimmy Johnson's running in everything right now. He's in Indy cars and he's testing at Daytona now in a Rolex car.
Right. So I didn't list all the stuff in the notes today that Jimmy Johnson's doing. I've only got one Jimmy Johnson mentioned in the notes. Yeah. I didn't watch the banquet, but I did get the full weekend of the Snowball Derby, watched all four nights of racing minus 100 laps on Sunday of the big show, because I had some other stuff going on earlier in the day. But yeah, got to witness the whole weekend, which it was a little, well, it was extra eventful and uneventful at the same time. It was really, the racing wasn't that eventful except for the very end of the races. But there was a lot of controversy during the Snowflake 100 on Saturday night everybody was talking about. So I will talk a little bit about it. We won't go real in depth with it, but there's some NASCAR ties to the Snowball this year. So we'll talk about it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's start, James, though, with the breaking news today. We found out, rumored yesterday, found out today. Again, we're recording this December 8th, Tuesday, California Speedway off the 2020 schedule. It will be replaced by the Daytona Road Course. It'll be the second race of the year. And then we will go to Homestead the following week. So it will be Daytona, and Homestead to kick off the season. Yeah, I'm with you. I can't fault NASCAR for this, because California is kind of, if there's a state that's locked down, that's the one.
Yeah.
Anticipating they weren't going to be able to run a race there, I get it. But man, to replace it with the Daytona Road Course, can't we just?
I guess.
You can't run Chicago in February, but man, I wish we could just go back to Chicago instead of doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. We've lost. I know NASCAR wants to make some changes here, but, you know, we've lost three of our traditional ovals for this coming season now, three different tracks off the schedule. And Auto Club will come back.
Yeah. But not like
they
is.
They said they're going to.
Right.
No, well, they said no. I was reading today, 2022 will be the. Will be the last of the old.
Oh, okay.
So I think we're going to get one more.
So they postponed the construction 1 year too. Then.
I think so. Yeah. Cause they're still going on with planning. And I think what happened, Eric, is COVID delayed all of that as well.
Right. Well, so, that's good. At least we get one more race on the big track.
Yeah. So this isn't goodbye just yet, but yeah, it's a bummer. I'd like Auto Club, but just strictly, man, it's great racing.
Yeah,
it has been pretty,
it's a little less good with the current car, but it's still great.
Yeah, Yeah, it's put on some great shows, and we were messaging earlier today. I said that the 2 mile oval deserves better than to go out on a limp like this. But right. Hopefully, yeah. I mean, hopefully we'll get back out there next year, 2022. I'm saying. Yeah. So we'll see. But
so I don't think that's the big story though, man. We got 7 road course races in the Cup Series next year.
Yeah, it's a completely different series now, huh?
Are we gonna be IndyCar in a couple of years that we run just 3 or 4 ovals and never, the rest are road courses?
I really hope not. I mean, I like the road course. I like road course racing.
I do too, but I thought 3 was good.
Yeah, we've got a lot now. I mean, we really, and
if we don't have a rain race in the Cup Series next year, I mean,
best chance.
It's gotta happen now. It'll happen in February.
Yeah, we got
probably.
2 weekends in Daytona. Well, yeah, we got 2 weekends in Daytona. We got to figure out. So,
right. No way we go 2 weekends in Daytona in a row without rain. And,
yeah. Well, and Eric, technically we have 8 road courses if you want to count the shootout.
You're right. You're right. Man, does that shootout now look just so unimportant and important at the same time?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But you know what though, it does make sense though. In that case though, Eric, if you think about it, they're already going to have road course cars down there. These teams have a chance to prep. There's lots less travel.
No, it's a smart choice.
It is.
It's the right choice. Yeah, at least we're not running Darlington 3 times this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course, we don't know yet. We still may end up doing that yet, too, obviously.
Well, that's the thing, too. Yeah. What really bums me out here, though, is we're already starting the season, and we're right back in this. And yeah. I think we expected that to be the case once we saw what's going on in this country right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hopefully things improve, because maybe it could be worse than that. I mean, Florida right now is open, but you never know.
Spending all those weeks down in Florida? I mean, geez.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't any better there than it is in California. That's for sure.
We'll ask the guys at the Snowball Derby how that works out for them after after another week or two.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
we'll get into that too. I think. A little bit.
Yeah. So the Daytona Road Course gets to come back though, Eric. One more time. We weren't sure if we were going to get it again after we saw it last year, other than the shootout. But now it's a points race. So Chase Elliott gets to lock in early to the playoffs.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I'm okay with at least we have a track that's not, we're not doubling up or tripling up on a track. We have essentially a new track. Like you said, it makes sense. They're already in Daytona. We don't have to haul tons of stuff back and forth. We're going to be in, a lot of the teams will be there already with road course cars from the shootout. It makes the most amount of sense of anything. It is disappointing though. But hey, guys, 2021, like James said, it's going to be an extension to 2020. At least the first part of the season. So get ready for some disappointment, because there's going to be other changes coming, I bet, you know?
Oh, I would assume so. I mean, we say there's 7 road courses on this points schedule, but
when do we go to Sonoma?
Sonoma's early
because it's Fox, right? It's in the first half.
Yeah. It's in June or July. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but you know, Watkins Glen's up in New York, and we couldn't go there last year either. So, boy, if we don't get Sonoma again this year, that's going to really bum me out, because I really do love – there's road courses I love. Sonoma and Watkins Glen, I really like those places.
Hopefully we're starting to hand out vaccines by April, and maybe you get a vaccine shot on your way into the Sonoma race this year.
There you go. there you go. Buy 2 tickets, get 1 vaccine shot.
Exactly, yeah. Well, wait a minute. I mean – so you got to pick the husband or the wife who gets the vaccine. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, there you go. Well, Pfizer was a big NASCAR sponsor for a long time.
Yeah,
Eric,
yeah. So. I bet you Mark Martin's first in line to get that vaccine.
He might be, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a company man.
He's older, too. Really, I mean, he's probably risk factor, you know, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Did anybody else drive the Pfizer car? I mean, it wasn't just a Mark Martin sponsor. I know that, but I can't remember who else was driving.
I don't remember either. I just remember the Viagra car was Mark.
I know. Now we're going down the road.
Those were the days.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Probably the other biggish news that we got over the past few weeks is that NASCAR released the 2021 Camping World Truck Series schedule. Let me run down the list of changes to the schedule for next year before we discuss the one that we care about. First off, Eldora is no more. No Truck Series race at Eldora this next year. The trucks will race with the Cup Series on the dirt at Bristol. So that will be a truck/cup weekend. No Xfinity that weekend, or at least not at Bristol. I can't remember if they're racing somewhere else. The Truck Series will run at Knoxville for the first time. next season, and they will race at Circuit of the Americas in Nashville Super Speedway in triple header weekends with Cup and Xfinity. The trucks will return to Watkins Glen for the first time since 2000, and the Worldwide Technology Raceway will be back on the schedule to open the playoffs. They were supposed to be on the schedule this year, but that was changed because of COVID. I think those are the major changes for next year. So let's talk about Eldora, James. That's the one we're disappointed about, right?
Yeah, we're bummed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't do any more research after the race, but I know that there were some rumors flying that Eldora was the one that made that decision. Have you seen anything on that?
That's kind of my – I think it was more of a mutual – I think Eldora – I think – I'll say this. I think Eldora was ready to move, and I think NASCAR was also ready to move.
Yeah.
For various different reasons, I think.
The race was losing some popularity, and I just think the work that had to go into it for Eldora to put it on just didn't make sense for them to keep doing it with just the truck series.
And I think that's the thing, right? I think you're exactly right, Eric. I think Eldora wanted to bring up, I think they wanted to try to get a cup date, right? Or at least Xfinity series. I think they wanted to make it more. I don't think NASCAR was super interested in that, but I think NASCAR was interested in dirt. Obviously, they're, you know, going to Bristol with the Cup Series. So,
well, I think one thing they found at Eldora too is that, you know, for the first few years, they ran the Kings Royal, and then 3 days later they ran the Mud Summer Classic or the Dirt Derby, whatever you wanted to call it. Mm-hmm. And I think they'd hoped that having that big ticket event to start out and then going into the Truck Series, that they would keep those fans over. But you know, I didn't go for the Kings Royal, but I went down for the Dirt Derby, and there just wasn't that crossover. I mean, you did see some dirt t-shirts in the crowd and stuff, but for the most part, the dirt fans hated this race. They don't feel this is dirt racing. This is not what they're used to watching. It's essentially an asphalt race on dirt. And so for us that are asphalt fans, I mean, I love asphalt racing. And I absolutely love this race, but people that are used to cars flying around Eldora at, you know, 150 miles an hour down the backstretch or heading into the turns, you're not going to get that excitement when the cars are doing 60.
Yeah, this was your bump and grind. This was your bump and grind from your local, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. But I think that, you know, the first 2 years, that first year was such a novelty, and that's where everything kind of happened. The second year was still, it had a lot of that. But it started to wear off. But
yeah, and last year didn't help because last year was a snoozer.
Yeah,
for Eldora,
that was
anyway.
An exciting. You know, the racing that track produced with the Truck Series was so exciting.
Yeah, that's something we're not going to get at Knoxville, James. I don't predict Knoxville's going to be a good race.
Yeah, I'm worried about Knoxville, and that's kind of my stance here. Is once you've had the best, the rest is just the rest, right? That's
You're going. We're going to go from. We're going from Bristol to the Milwaukee Mile in asphalt terms. I mean, you're going from a high bank track to a flat track.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, I'll give you that, you know, Knoxville's a half mile too, so it's smaller than Milwaukee. It's not like the ARCA tracks that they run ARCA on dirt because those are mile tracks, but it's not going to be a lot different than those ARCA races, I don't think. You're going to see a lot more single file and...
Yeah, it's going to be and Knoxville is a great facility. I'd love to go there and watch a, you know, sprint car race. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah. I'd be on board to go to the truck race out there too. I mean,
yeah, I mean, this is not me bashing Knoxville
I'm happy that we're doing it. I'm glad that we're going to another. I mean, you and I were disappointed when we found out that we were losing Eldora. We knew that they were going to go to Bristol, and it's like, okay, you're going to take this classic dirt track and you're going to replace it with a makeshift dirt track. This is stupid. Yeah. Well, at least we're still going to a classic, famous, you know, dirt track.
This is up there.
This is a good replace. As long as Eldora is the one that wanted this to happen, I'm totally good with this.
Yeah.
It's the next best option for NASCAR to run at a historic dirt track.
And it's a big facility.
Yeah.
You know, they can seat people in there. Like Eldora. I mean, Eldora could seat a lot of people when you really think about it. Not as much as I think they would, you know, NASCAR would want, but still, Knoxville can pack them in.
I don't know if Knoxville will get the draw. But who knows? I mean, it's Iowa, so maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR racing doesn't come out to Iowa.
Right.
So this is a chance to see.
This is your shot.
Yeah, this is your chance to see some guys here that might do this. You know, there's a lot of Eldora that bums me out for many reasons. You know, there was some guy I always wanted Tony to run that race. That never happened.
Right.
But
maybe,
you know,
maybe Tony has a shot at running this one now. He doesn't have to work on the
track.
Yeah,
he can come out to Knoxville if NASCAR allows him. I know he's competing in another series now.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's, I'm glad we're not just doing Bristol. I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, let's make this kind of like an all-star thing where maybe we switch it up every few years, run Knoxville a couple more years, and then, you know, we look somewhere else and keep on, you know, Las Vegas has a dirt track, Texas. There's places we can go.
I will point that out to the NASCAR fans that maybe aren't big dirt fans, that was a misconception that I had for quite a while about Knoxville, just for the record, so everybody's aware. It is Knoxville, Iowa, not Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
For years, I thought this race is in Tennessee. Or this track was in Tennessee, but no, it's in Iowa, guys. So,
yep. Yeah, and Jeff Gluck's got an old piece somewhere. I don't know where, but he did a full-blown experience at the Knoxville Nationals. It's very good.
Yeah.
Really gets you into what it's like to be there, which really piqued my interest because of, you know, of the good times I've had at Eldora going to the Mud Summer Classic / Dirt Derby and the Prelude. You know, I had a lot of fun doing a lot of that stuff, so... I think fans are going to get I think fans will get their money's worth if they attend this race. I just don't know, you know, I think maybe keeping our expectations lower than what we had at Eldora for sure.
I hope we're wrong. I hope it's a great race.
Me too. Oh yeah. Me too, man. Me too.
I'm curious what all they're going to have to, if they're going to have to make adjustments to that track. I know that Eldora, you know, had the temporary media center and care center that they brought in for the first couple years, and they built that beautiful media center they have now. I know they had to make modifications on pit road. They had to put a helipad in. I don't know what the amenities are at Knoxville. I would assume that they're similar to what Eldora has, so I'm guessing they'll be okay.
I think the track prep's going to be another thing, Eric, to add to that, because Tony Stewart and that crew, I mean, they never stopped
working on that track
weekend. And they really figured out how to produce a track that would hold up to the weight of those trucks.
Right. Because I'm more worried about Bristol for that, by the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I did see that Bristol's going to run some races before the cup cars get there. There's going to be some, I think I saw maybe a late model series going to run a week or two before.
Okay.
So,
well, I might as well make use of the dirt. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's going to be there, so try to make something happen. I don't know if you're going to sell any tickets, but...
You know the biggest disappointment, though, about this whole thing, James?
What's that?
No pizza burgers.
Oh, my God, I know.
What are the concession prices like in Knoxville? Because, man, they're great at Eldora.
Oh, my God. How many pizza burgers did I put down that one year?
Oh,
it was,
man.
A lot.
You're probably still burning them off.
Oh, my God, dude. I put down so
many. Imagine how much better you'd be with your running stuff, James, if you wouldn't have had all those pizza burgers that weekend.
So many pizza burgers and Yingling beer because you can't get Yingling in Michigan. Well, that's changing. Yingling's coming to Michigan.
I was
going to
say, I'm not a beer drinker, but I've seen that.
I was so happy getting my pizza burgers and my Yingling, and I was just like, this is great. This is where I want to like be all the time, is with my beer and my pizza burgers.
I tried to get on board with the pizza burgers, and I just couldn't do it. There's a little bit of spice to them, and it just wasn't my deal.
Yeah, I know. Well, you can still get your pizza burgers. You just got to go to a different race.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll be down at a Kings Royal one of these years. One of these years,
someday,
hopefully very soon.
Yep.
I have this problem right now, James, that there's a small chance that this year may roll around and I won't do any cup races because I've got several short track races that I want to try and get to. There's a lot of short tracks I want to go to.
Yeah, man.
For example, the All-Star Circuit of Champions Sprint Car Series, Tony's Series, is finishing their season out at Fremont Speedway in Ohio, which that track is awesome. Been there a couple years ago. I'd love to go to that. I'd like to go to the Winchester 400 once. Wisconsin International Raceway. I saw some videos of that online. Looks a lot like the old Tri-City Half Mile. So I want to check that out. I mean, I got a list, man.
I
want to go to the Chili Bowl, but that won't be this year.
No, not this year. But I saw I-96, one of our tracks, not super close to us, but in our neck of the woods. I-96 is going to come back. Yep. It's a decent track. I've been there. Had a good time. And then I saw, you know, like ARCA is coming to Toledo, and that's always kind
Toledo
of like something.
And Berlin out in Grand Rapids again.
Yep,
be
and
there.
Berlin. Yep, yep. So there's some really good short track stuff going on.
I'm waiting for ARCA to pick back up, though. ARCA needs to pick back up.
Yeah, they got a they're kind of limping around.
Yeah,
that I agree. Yeah, yep.
Reduced capacity for the Daytona 500. No surprise there, I think. I don't know. There's a whole lot to talk about. A lot of people are upset about it. But hey, guys, I don't know if you realize, but since I don't know, March, we've been dealing with this thing. It's called the coronavirus. And it sucks. And guess what? You know, we're lucky we're going to have races at all. Be happy if there is a Daytona 500. So,
we just got to take what we can get right now. And you know, NASCAR doesn't want to do this. They don't want reduced capacity, especially at the one race that they really sell out. I mean, this is it. You know, NASCAR doesn't sell out races anymore. They sell out the Daytona 500.
I didn't check. Is Biden given the command this year?
Oh, God. Just kidding.
If Biden could go and one up Trump by driving the big car around on the banking, that would be awesome.
We're gonna look.
Man, it would make Trump so mad to see that car go around on the banking.
Trump might be there, man. No, I wouldn't count him out just yet.
He could be. Yeah, he's still trying.
Man, that was such a spectacle last year. Holy smokes!
That whole thing
seemed like forever ago.
I know, it feels like years ago between all that, the spectacle at the beginning, then the rain early, and we run it the next day, and then Newman gets hurt, and oh my God, it's like ages ago.
And it wasn't even, and it doesn't even feel like the same season.
No, because we didn't, COVID didn't exist. We didn't even hardly know about it then.
Eric, so Air Force One flew, you know this, Air Force One flew right over my backyard when President Trump was doing his rallies. He came literally, I can see the airport from my house. It's like right there. And the first thing I thought when I saw that plane coming over was like, oh yeah, that was at the Daytona 500.
That's
I can't turn my racing brain off.
If that shows you how James and I think, because I would have thought the same way. This is not James going, oh, the president is flying over my house. No, that plane was at the Daytona 500.
That plane was at the Daytona 500. It's massive, and there's never planes this big over my backyard because this is a small airport. It's not Detroit Metro. This is a small airport, and that bad boy came flying over my house. I was like, man, that would have been cool to see, and I'm jealous that Todd got to see it at the Daytona 500.
No kidding.
Because it was cool. What they did with the flyover and stuff was pretty cool.
It was. We talked about it after the 500, whether you like Trump or don't. It was ridiculous. It was 100% ridiculous, but it was awesome.
Yeah, and him driving the big car around the track. I mean, he made a spectacle out of it.
Well, and the gentleman start your engines with the flyover over top. I mean, it was cool. It was cool.
Yeah. Yep. It is. Take it for what it's worth. Like him or not, it was a spectacle and it was fun.
So you know what's a great idea, James?
Hit me.
A great idea is when there's a pandemic. And things are closed down all over the country and people are being asked to wear masks and stuff and social distance and not gather in crowds. A great idea is to host about 20,000 people at a racetrack during cold weather in Florida.
Oh my God.
And that's what we did this past weekend. It was a snowball derby. We're going to argue a little bit about this, I think. Maybe.
I'll say this real quick.
Well, let me go through the race first.
Let's do your thing.
We'll hit the race really quick first, and then we'll talk about
the protocol. Important. The racing is important.
Yeah. So Snowball Derby, I didn't even put Ty Majeski in. Oh yeah, I did right there at the beginning of it. Ty Majeski wins the Snowball Derby this year. Excellent job. For those of you guys who are familiar with Ty, he's run some NASCAR races, never really has gotten to take a hold in the NASCAR series. He had a chance with Roush and I don't know, things just didn't align right. But Ty Majeski is a hell of a late model racer. One of the best late model racers in the country. He had not won this race before. This was his first Snowball Derby win. So congratulations to Ty on getting the win. Chase Elliott, the Cup Series champ, ran this one. He did not qualify on speed. So he had to run the last chance race on Saturday night. Came through the field and won the last chance race to qualify for the Derby and then finished third on Sunday. Couple other notable NASCAR names in this race. Chandler Smith, he finished fourth in the Derby after starting dead last in the last chance race the night before.
I like Chandler Smith, Eric.
Yeah.
That's one of my guys, man. That kid can wheel.
Yeah, so he got DQ'd in qualifying because he got out of his car and one of his crew members handed him a phone so he could check his speed on race monitor. And there's a rule at the Snowball Derby, which we'll talk about this a little bit more, but the Snowball Derby, when it comes to officiating, is freaking ridiculous. And there's a rule that you can't have a cell phone in the impound area because there are issues with traction control. And despite the fact that they essentially knew what they were doing with the cell phone, it didn't matter. He was DQ'd. Didn't matter because he was going to last chance race anyway. It just put him in the back instead of midfield. But he was able to come up through the field there and qualify in the top four to make it into the big show. Kyle Busch finished seventh in the race, kind of back and forth day. He led a few laps early and then fell back and just never could get the handle on the car. Grant Enfinger finishes eighth. Ross Kenseth was 23rd in the event. Those are kind of the notable NASCAR names. Let's see. So back to the officiating thing. When the winner gets out of the car on the front stretch, before they can do any interviews or anything, they get wanded with a metal detector wand to make sure they don't have anything in their uniform for traction control. That's how ridiculous this is down there.
Oh, my God. A lot of ridiculous stuff going on down there.
Well, and then there was controversy in the Snowflake 100 the night before. It was Bubba Pollard and I can't think of his name now. Nice. I can't think of his first name. But Nice bumped Pollard, spun him coming out of turn four. Looked like a pretty clean bump to me. Kind of hit him square in the rear. Pollard tried to save it / not let him pass and spun out. And Nice was disqualified from the race. And he was put to the end of the tail end of the lead lap. So that was a little irritating, too. A lot of people were upset with that.
It was brutal. You know what, Eric? Here's my quick take on it. He got penalized because the other guy couldn't control his car on a bump and run. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. It was short track racing, man. And you know, Majeski roughed up the leader a little bit too on Sunday, but not quite to the point. And the leader didn't spin. So Majeski was
all right. We're not racing F1 here,
right,
guys? This is stock car racing, and you need to be allowed to put a fender on somebody.
Yep.
If you're blatantly wrecking people, that's one thing. But if it's a racing move, and you're bumping and grinding a little bit, my God.
If you get penalized for hitting somebody square in the bumper, that's ridiculous. Now,
not good.
If you hit him in the left rear, sure. But he didn't hit him in the left rear. He hit him right in the center of the bumper.
Or you hook him on the front stretch or something stupid like that.
Yeah, come into the checkered flag, you know, with one shot, one spot to go ahead of, or to make it into the playoffs. You know, stuff like that you should be penalized for. But,
well,
I mean, it just, hypothetical situation.
Yeah. Or, you take a look at it and it's like, oh, that guy kind of served his own penalty by missing the playoffs. So,
right, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. man, I almost wish that it would have worked.
Good callback.
Wish that would have worked because it would have put NASCAR in such a tough position.
Yeah, it would have been great.
So, anyway, before we criticize the race, it was some great racing at the Snowball Derby. Like I said, the races were not quite as exciting as they generally are. There were a lot more green flag racing, but it's still exciting. They did a good job. Speed 51 did the broadcast, the pay-per-view. They did a pretty good job with the broadcast. I had issues with frame rate on my video. They claimed that it was my fault or my problem, not their problem, which was odd to me because nothing else buffers on my internet, and I have 120 meg down, so it couldn't have been my issue. But anyway, either way, it was good enough to watch the race. I got to enjoy it, so it was pretty cool to watch some racing in December. That being said, one thing we saw a lot of, or very little of, over the weekend was masks.
Yeah, and I hate that we have to have this conversation, but it's distracting.
Yeah, it is. And
the blatant disregard is distracting.
Yeah. So I have a couple takes on this, James, because one, I don't feel that the masks are as necessary when you're outside because, you know, your breath is going wherever. It's not sticking right there. I think you're better off outside. That being said, I'm talking outside when you're, you know, you can social distance from people.
When you're playing golf or going for a run or walking to your mailbox.
Yeah.
Or walking down the street.
Well, even if you're in a crowd, like I went to my boys' soccer games this year. And there were people at the soccer fields, but I was 6 to 10 feet away from everybody. And
yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, in those cases, I didn't feel it. Well, I did wear a mask because we were required to, but I didn't feel like I needed a mask for that. But this, everybody was on top of each other. There were 20,000 people in the stands. They were sitting right next to each other, shoulder to shoulder. And there were, I probably saw 10 masks the whole weekend of the broadcast.
Yep.
And like even Speed 51 doing the broadcast. Online. They were doing their interviews. They were using one microphone, doing it just like the old days, no masks. It just, man. And then our champion set a very poor example by not wearing one all weekend long.
He was bad.
He
and his team were bad.
I did not see Kyle Busch at all there. But reports were that he was one of the few wearing a mask. So I applaud him if that was the case.
Yeah, I'm sure Samantha was like, listen.
Well, I know that Kyle doesn't always wear it when Brexton's racing, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that, though, is more spread out. People aren't on top of each other.
Yeah, I'm super disappointed in Speed 51 and Chase Elliott. I mean, Chase, come on, man. You're the champ. Yeah. Set an example.
Now, I will say that the broadcast, a lot of the broadcast had the PA announcer over top of it, and they were asking people to wear masks. And in Florida, it is not required. So it's not like anybody was doing anything, you know, they weren't breaking any protocols. It just was really, they should be setting an example. And I hope when NASCAR comes to Daytona that we're still doing the mask thing. You know, I don't want to set that. I don't want to set that bad example.
We don't want to be the mask police either, but
right.
I mean, cripe almighty. And Speed 51, honestly, Eric, they're not answering to anybody but themselves and their subscribers. Right. So.
Well, they got their $80 from me, so.
Yep. So there you go. Yeah, it's just distracting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, I don't know. You can't watch TV shows now and see large crowds.
God, it's so weird, isn't it?
It is so weird. And watching movies and stuff, I'm like, oh, where's your mask? But that's different than you're watching a live sporting event and you're like.
Well, I mean, James was bitching to me because there was a commercial for Camping World.
He was in a store.
And Kyle Busch walks into the Camping World to buy a Rowdy energy drink, and he's not wearing a mask. And James was all mad about it.
He was in a store.
Right, but see, they recorded that commercial, and now they can still use the commercial when COVID's done.
Yeah, but I know, but it's not like it's a Hollywood production where they were quarantined and then they shot a commercial.
Maybe they were. No, they were not.
I'm not trying to be the mask police.
That wasn't Kyle Busch, if that was anybody else, no, I'm just kidding.
No, it's not.
I know it's not. All right. Anything else on this subject?
Glad we haven't lost our fire.
Right?
Good Lord.
Right?
No, let's leave the mask. No more masks.
Yeah. Well, no, we want masks.
Well, damn it.
Wear your mask and don't make us talk about it.
Just don't make us talk about it. Wear your mask. Right. Don't make us talk about it. On a podcast.
There you go. Let's talk some driver news, James. We got all kinds of driver news. We'll run through these kind of quick. I think I got all of them that we've not talked about.
The only one was...
you got one? Throw it out there right now.
Chandler Smith was the only one I didn't see.
Yeah, where's he going?
He is going to KBM full-time, okay. The 18 car.
Nice.
Or the 18 truck. The 18 truck.
All right.
That is... I know he had a couple of bumps in the road last year, but I will say that's a Truck Series championship round contending truck.
Well, there's going to be some good ones this year.
There's going to be a lot, yes. But
Truck Series is going to be stacked this year.
It's going to be a beast, yeah. Truck Series looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, really good. There's some talent in the Truck Series.
Yep. All right.
We'll get into that. We got a lot more to talk about there.
So, start out, let's talk Jimmy Johnson a little bit. This is the only Jimmy Johnson news I have in the podcast today. And it's really not about Jimmy. He's got a pretty good teammate for the IndyCar series.
Yeah, man, that's a good looking team, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Tony Kanaan's gonna run the oval tracks for Ganassi and Johnson's effort. So Johnson on the road courses, Kanaan on the oval track. So Kanaan will race what, three races, four races?
Three or four races.
I think it's four races, three tracks. Yeah.
Yeah. But he gets the Indy 500 start that he wants.
Yep,
so
that's cool.
And Jimmy gets to do everything else.
It means that car's not gonna be any slouch any weekend, I would assume. It's gonna be a contender.
Well, that's a decent set of drivers,
yep,
right there.
Yep, I like that. Yep. All right, let's talk some NASCAR news. I've got trucks and Xfinity and Cup kind of mixed together. I try to keep them somewhat together, but they're a little mixed.
Yeah,
up.
We'll just go one at a time.
Yep. So
there's a lot going
on. Speaking of the Stack Truck Series, John Hunter Nemechek decides he wants to race for a championship this year. He's going to run the 4 truck for KBM. That is going to be a contender. That one might be.
Is that your championship favorite?
That I have to look at the list. Because there's another one that is a pretty high favorite for me too.
Well, Moffitt's coming back.
Yeah, that's the one for me. Since you mentioned it, Brett Moffitt's coming back. So we talked about Moffitt last year. We found out that he was running full time in the Xfinity series, right? Is he running?
He's gonna run full time in both, but he's gonna
running
run
for points in the trucks.
Yep.
So we thought it was all said and done in the Xfinity series, and we were kind of like, that's kind of not a really top notch ride for somebody who should be able to get a top notch ride. Well, he's going to Nice Motorsports next year in the Truck Series full time.
Yeah, he's going to be tough.
Yeah, those two right there, I think, are going to be top contenders.
Yeah, that John Hunter, to KBM. I want to talk about that with you a little bit because is that too far of a step back for him? What do we think about that?
Well, let's put it this way. If he goes and wins the title, no. If he goes and runs mediocre, then yes.
Is he trying to do the Ross Chastain type thing?
I think he might be.
Yeah. I guess what do you meddle around at the back of the pack or the middle of the pack with the front row, or do you go try to win races and get your name back
out there?
Here's
the John Hunter has never had the chance to run in top-notch equipment regularly. You know, he had a couple starts with Ganassi in the Xfinity Series, and he did well with it. He won one of them, didn't he?
Him and Chastain both, I think, won. Yeah.
So, I mean, this kid has been really good in underfunded equipment.
Oh, yeah, man. He's won races with his own truck.
Think if you get a shot in a top ride in any of the three series, if you're John Hunter, you take it. And there's not a better ride that he could get right now.
And honestly, I do worry about KBM trucks a little bit. You know my stance on that.
I think your stance is BS.
That the KBM trucks only show up 5 times a year.
There's no way, man. There's too much history that shows that that's not true.
But listen,
past 2 years have been the only years that the KBM trucks, other than Kyle, haven't run well. What's the difference? The difference is that they've all been different drivers.
I say this just to get you riled up because I know like Eric Jones was fantastic in those trucks.
Yeah.
And who else came through the pipeline there? Was it
William Byron?
Yes, Byron. Byron was really good in those trucks. So yeah,
I don't mind Todd Gilliland, but Todd Gilliland was the top guy.
Yeah.
That's not
I know.
You know? I mean, Bubba won in KBM stuff.
Bubba won a lot in KBM stuff. Yeah. He did. That's so true.
I know you're just trying to get me going.
I'd like to get your goat a little bit. John Hunter's going to be – he's going to be a threat.
Yeah.
Every week.
I think he's the favorite.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, Moffitt's tough because he's a past champion, but Moffitt isn't consistent enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah. John Hunter's talent is – he is a good talent.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, John Hunter's done well in Cup, you know, with an underfunded car. He's done well in Xfinity. Moffitt hasn't shown that. Moffitt's been good in the trucks, and that's
it. Up and down. Moffitt's career is like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But he has been at the highest of highs in the trucks.
Yep.
So something to consider. But, yeah, I like this move for – I do like this move for John Hunter. I hope it works out for him that he comes back.
Me too. I hope so.
Yeah.
We've got word where Corey LaJoy is going. He's going to drive the number 7 car full-time for Spire Motorsports in the Cup Series in 2021. I didn't see. Is this a multi-year deal or a single-year deal? Do we know?
It's a multi-year deal. This is a
2022 move right here.
Yeah, he's trying to get himself in place for when the new car comes in next year.
Yeah, probably a good move. I think.
Yeah.
A lot of people are high on Spire and what they're going to do with the new car. So
he's probably going to take a little bit of a step back in performance for one season. Yeah. But next year, I think is what he's trying to do here. Is he's trying to make a play for 2022 and show what he can do.
Yep, I agree. AJ Allmendinger, the Dinger, is running full time this year, not in the Cup Series, but he's running full time in Xfinity for college.
Win some races, bud.
Yeah, this is a favorite, one of the favorites for the title in the Xfinity Series, which is also going to be kind of stacked this year, I think.
Yeah, I like this move. I wish he was coming into Cup full time because I wanted to see if he could rattle some cages.
I'll tell you what, James.
Well, here you go. Here's your transitional moment.
He's not coming into Cup yet. But Kolig is going to run a limited Cup schedule in 2021. And guess what races they're going to run, James?
Super speedways and road courses.
Yeah. Who is a good super speedway and road course driver?
The Dinger.
Yeah. Huh. Imagine that.
Yeah, so, he's going
to
be good.
I think we're setting Dinger up to maybe take a shot in 2022 in the Cup Series, too.
Yeah, one more time. Yep. Yeah.
So I love it. I like AJ. I think AJ got a raw deal the last time, and I really hope that he can turn his career around and make something out of it. I mean, I think he already has. AJ.
He bottomed out. Yeah. He bottomed out at Penske.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I consider him a top driver. He's a great TV personality. He's very important to our sport as it is, but I'd love to see him get a chance and have a competitive ride in the Cup Series. So hopefully that's in the future.
Yes, sir.
Harrison Burton returning to JGR next season. I would have to say this is probably the favorite for the Xfinity Series title, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, he's right there. Yeah, he's going to be tough.
Yeah.
One more season under his belt. Yeah, he's the next, probably the next guy.
Yep.
Where's he going to go? I do not know. But
that being said, his cousin will be racing him full time as well in the college number 10 next year.
The Burtons.
Yep. Now, Jeb hasn't shown the promise that Harrison has, but Jeb's not a bad driver either.
No, and Jeb's been to the Cup Series for a little bit. And yeah.
He's been doing the part-time thing in the Xfinity Series, too. And get a chance with a top ride with colleague. That's another guy that could be a contender.
Do what you can with it. Exactly.
Yep. We mentioned Brett Moffitt to Nice. Also going to Nice Motorsports next year is Ryan Truex.
Ryan Truex Jr.
Yes. Yeah, Ryan Truex Jr. Yeah, so Truex gets a shot in the truck series again full time.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good team too. Ryan's a good driver.
Truex is a good driver.
Kind of like Jeb. Ryan and Jeb have had the same type of thing going on their entire careers. So I'm glad to see guys getting full time rides.
Yeah, Ryan's kind of been in his brother's shadow quite a bit, and he can bust out of that a little bit in this ride.
Yeah, so. I think he's a good driver. I think he can drive.
Yeah, I think so too. He's always compared to Martin, and I just don't think the comparisons. I don't think it's there. I don't think there is a comparison. Yeah. They're two very different people, and I think it's unfortunate that he always gets compared to Martin.
Yeah, he's a young buck, you know.
Yep.
His older brother's very, I don't know, he's different.
Yeah.
Martin's got a very unique personality.
Yeah, and Ryan's a goofball.
Yes, exactly.
There's nothing better than Ryan's truck t-shirt that he self-drew.
Yeah.
The 16 so truck. Stick so figure good. Truck. It was so good.
Yeah. Yep.
Last bit of driver news that I'm aware of, Rafael Lassard will jump over to GMS next season. That is a part-time ride, though, as he tries to put together some sort of full-time thing for the truck series.
Nice.
Showed some promise at the end of the season this past year. Mm-hmm. And again, another one of those guys in a KBM truck that maybe wasn't up to the KBM standard. But I'd like to see Rafael get more of a shot. And I think there's some talent there. I think it's just going to take some grooming.
Yeah, for sure. So. Yep, absolutely.
There we go. I think that's the news, James.
Buzz through it, man.
Yeah.
You said it. I like it.
Last bit of discussion. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this because I think we've discussed this in length before, but I wanted to bring this up. So if you guys aren't familiar with Slap Shoes on YouTube, it's S1APSH0ES on YouTube. He does a lot of NASCAR videos. Usually it has some pretty good stuff, good production value, whatnot. He posted a video this week called "The NASCAR Playoffs Are Worse Than You Thought," and he got me fired up. And if I would have recorded the podcast that night,
yeah, you were messaging us, you were firing up.
I would have gone for a while because it pissed me off. But so basically, he argues the NASCAR's waning popularity is because of the playoff championship format. He claims the format allows drivers to win early in the season and coast through the regular season, as well as the first couple rounds of the playoffs. Basically, tears apart the current system, longs for the days of the old system, and offers a new format that is similar to the old system, but not. And there's some stuff in here that I don't disagree with, but he wants to do the full season points battle, where the person with the most points at the end of the season wins the title. And his proposal is, we'll just kind of run through it here real quick, that the winner would get 10 points more than second. Everyone else's positions would be separated by 5 points. And then he wants to bring back some bonus points, which I am in favor of bonus points. I wish that we had more of these. 5 points for leading a lap, 5 points for most laps led. I miss the fact that those are not bonuses anymore.
Yeah, me too.
He adds 5 points for qualifying first. I think this is pointless because I think we're done with qualifying forever. 5 points for the fastest lap of the race. I don't know that I like this.
I think it doesn't make sense.
It works in Formula One. I like it in Formula One, but Formula One's just not NASCAR. So Formula One, it's cool because somebody in mid pack can go dive in, make a pit stop at the end of the race and try and turn the fastest lap to get the points. And that's cool.
Yeah.
But in NASCAR, you're not going to do that. You're not going to pull that strategy. So that's just dumb.
What are you going to do for, I don't like that because NASCAR is so long. What are you going to go out there and try to burn up your tires and then you're down 10 laps after?
Yeah,
you know.
It's stupid. 5 points for the fastest 4-tire pit stop. Also stupid. you get rewarded for the fastest 4-tire pit stop by getting out of the pits first. 5 points for stage winners. He would keep the stages, but he would eliminate the cautions at the stages, which I also don't like.
I want the old school way of doing things, but here's stages.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So basically, you would have up to 235 points available for the weekend. So, again, I don't know that there's a whole lot to discuss here because I just pretty much disagree with all of this. I absolutely love our championship format. I think that the waning popularity of NASCAR is much more because of the Car of Tomorrow than anything else.
And well, I think it's a culture change too,
that
Eric.
That too. Well, honestly, everything's losing
it's a lot.
People.
It's a lot. Yes. But, everything does.
You know, NASCAR also is a victim of, we got really popular for no good reason. I mean, like NASCAR just became the it thing for, you know, 10 years in the mid 2000s. And we're suffering for it now because we've lost all those people and we assumed those people would stay. But the problem was, is they were just the people that wanted the next cool thing, and now something else is cooler, so they've moved on. And the problem is that NASCAR at the time also tried to cater to those people that were never going to stay and cost themselves, you know, long-term old-time fans as well.
Racetrack, other series are still doing that to this day.
Yeah.
Still haven't learned their lesson.
But I think the Car Tomorrow didn't help, and I think the fact that NASCAR fans traditionally hate change. And when we change stuff, they aren't willing to accept it.
Every single year with every change.
Yeah, but I mean, if you really look back at rules and stuff like that, we used to change rules in the middle of the season.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous. I like the fact
that our points system has stayed the same for a handful of years now.
I think, I had argued this season that I didn't like the format or that I wanted to see some changes with the format. But I think what happened with Harvick, I think it's about as perfect as you're going to get. I mean, Slapshoes kind of ignores the fact that of the playoff points, he just kind of glosses over it. And the playoff points allow you to race hard during the regular season, finish consistent and well, and build up those points to have almost a bye in the playoffs.
Yep.
And if you think you can coast through the first two rounds, ask Kyle Busch if you can do
that. Ask Kevin Harvick what happened when you have great performance all season, but then your performance wanes at the end.
Right. That's the thing. I would argue that
you can only buy yourself so much time.
Yeah. With the old system, okay, you couldn't coast through the beginning of the season, but you could coast through the end.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at Matt Kenseth's championship season and tell me what was going on there.
Right. So maybe it's an unpopular decision. I mean, he had a lot of support on his video. People that were 100% in agreement with him, but if it's the unpopular opinion, I'll take the unpopular opinion because
me too. I'm with you. No, there's no disagreement here. The only thing I would say though, I would like to see a playoff point up for grabs for leading the most laps. I think that's a good way to, you know.
I like leading a lap too. It was interesting to see the pit strategy where you'd stay out an extra lap to try and lead that lap. There were interesting moments because of that. I don't think it ever amounted to anything, but it just was one other thing to look at during the race.
Exactly.
So. Yep. You know, just same as halfway, leader at halfway.
Yep.
That was always, I found it interesting. Most people didn't care, but I found it interesting. So,
yeah.
But all right. But anyway, I mean, go check out Slapshoes stuff. His stuff's good. And if nothing else, it created a discussion here. But I disagree. 100%.
We need something to talk about in the offseason, right?
You want to add anything, James, or is that it? Are we good?
No, man, I'm with you. I agree with you. I don't like almost any of this. I do think there's some tweaks, though. Like I said, I think a playoff point per race for the leading the most laps, I think that is a worthy that may be a worthy discussion to have. But other than that, I don't know if I change much in our point system right now.
I don't mind the point or bonus points for qualifying on the pole either, but I just think qualifying's done.
Yeah, we're in trouble with qualifying.
I don't think we're going to get it back. And that's something we didn't discuss, but our buddy Bob Levine, who will no longer be supplying us with inside information that may or may not be accurate after this season, claims that NASCAR basically left it to the teams to vote, but put them in a box by either telling them they had to go back to the normal weekend format or run the dirt race at Bristol, and that the teams didn't want to spend the money on the old format, so they were forced essentially to vote for Bristol on the dirt, and that nobody really wanted to do it.
Oh God, good. At least I have some alliances out there.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't believe a whole lot that comes out of Bob Levine's mouth.
Yeah,
but I think we've discovered that qualifying isn't needed.
Probably not.
You know, we might go, we'll probably go back to running some practice, but I think we're done with qualifying. I don't think we'll ever see it again.
Yeah, probably not. That and midweek races, I think midweek races might have died. I think qualifying, yeah. I don't know if qualifying is dead, but it's on life support.
I think it's dead.
Yeah.
I don't see us going back to it, man. I just don't. I think if we can keep, I think if we can keep the single, you know, the single day weekends going forward, they're going to do their best to do that too. I mean, again, yeah. you bring one car to a track versus two, you're saving a crap ton of money.
That's right.
So, I mean, this new car is supposed to save a ton of money too. So maybe they won't need to do that, but I don't know. The cheaper you can make it to get into it, the better off, better off you're going to be. So
that's right.
All right. Anything I missed, James?
No, man. I think it was good just to catch up for
I know. We'll probably, unless some news breaks, we haven't discussed this, but I'm assuming we'll probably be until after Christmas, probably after New Year's before we hit another one of these, just because Christmas is getting here quick. We'll be back after the holidays and you know, get geared up for the, probably do maybe every other week or something leading up to the beginning of the season. And then hopefully we'll start on time.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Who knows? Who the heck knows what's going to happen?
You got any shout-outs this week, James?
Kind of a general one. I thought about this as we were getting ready to close the show here. Anybody out there who listens to this, if you're a frontline worker, just thank you.
Yeah.
I have frontline workers in my family, and sometimes we are forced to stay away from them, especially right now. And, man, people are doing a hell of a job out there with some of this stuff and doing things that they never thought that they'd have to do. I've heard a lot of inside stories from my, my family that works in the field, and just heroes, man. All of you, if you're a frontline worker and for some reason you're listening to this, just know that there's people out there who really appreciate what you're doing. 'Cause it's crazy.
Yeah. I can't add anything to that. It's, you know, I guess to go a little bit further, you know, big thanks to the people who are actually following protocols and stuff too, you know,
yes,
help protect those people, help protect those that are at risk. It sucks, man. I totally get it. I hate wearing a mask. I do everything I can.
I hate not seeing family.
Yeah. Yeah. My Thanksgiving was a little quieter than normal. We did a little bit more than, we were expecting to be able to do, but we're pretty careful and safe, and so far so good. So,
I will say, you know, having a newborn baby and not being able to share her with people has been one of the strangest experiences of my life. It's just, it's the complete opposite of what happened the first time around. And it's just, it feels wrong.
Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do about it. Honestly,
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, we're just trying to do the best we can. And it's like, I don't know. You don't want that baby to be a statistic.
Well, I can't even imagine, too, because like when we had our boys, of course, we had two. But that moment of, you know, handing them off to somebody for them to enjoy them for a minute and for us to get a break, too.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
Love our boys and loved every moment of it. But there were times when you just needed to breathe for a second. And,
And you had twins, and it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard with one, and you had two. And you know, we've got a toddler and a newborn. So it's, you know, we're chasing.
Got it tougher than we did, James. I think it's easier to have two the same age than it is to have.
No, but there's parents out there who are superheroes too, man. Like, you're probably doing some homeschooling and stuff, and I can't imagine. Like, it's, we're all struggling in our own different ways, but I think everybody's making it through as best they can. I don't know how we got down this road, but
I don't know either.
But you know,
well, you know how we got down this road, James, is because I'm trying to find my shout out, so I'm stretching this out as long
as
humanly possible.
Buster all we want.
I can't find it. Instead, I will give another shout out to Baron Speedway, even though I've shouted him out enough times on this podcast. Half the reason I enjoy following him, other than the fact that his scale 164 replica racetrack is awesome on Instagram, is that he also follows a bunch of model racetracks or racetrack dioramas and stuff like that. And there's another one that he just started following that's a dirt track with sprint cars and stuff. And I wish I could find it, and I will find it hopefully for one of the future podcasts.
Well, I was going to say about him too. I'll give you some time here.
I can't find it. So
yeah, that's fine. He's getting a lot of shout outs from people now that are like bigger names NASCAR. And I'm just like, man, that's my dude.
Yeah.
and I didn't even have a chance to meet him yet. I know we had talked about meeting
pre-COVID,
up
we were going to go out to Grand Rapids and check his track out.
I know. I really wanted to go, and you know, maybe someday we'll get a chance to. But man, he's done such a great job with that thing, and I'm so glad that we found him.
Yeah.
Because it just makes me. That's one of those things. That's really dumb.
You found him. This is all you. You found him. If you wouldn't include me in on him, I'd have had no clue who he was, and it's awesome. Well,
and here's the thing: it's so dumb, but little things like that somebody does that bring you a little bit of joy, especially now when it's hard. He does such a great job and it just makes me happy when I see how realistic that thing looks.
Yeah. There's not another one that I've seen out there that's better.
This is the best right now.
There is the one guy that has the Daytona replica, but it's not finished. It's pretty cool too, but I think Barron Speedway is the best one out there. And so, check it out if you haven't on Instagram. James, really quick. You didn't end up going down to MIS for the toy drive thing this weekend, did you?
No, I wanted to, but we had a chance to rest with only one kid on our hands.
Right.
So we took the opportunity not to go anywhere.
Well, let me shout them out real quick too. MIS, Michigan International Speedway, this weekend did a toy/food drive, and if all you had to do was bring a non-perishable food item or an unwrapped toy, a new toy to the track, and they would let you take 5 laps around the track at highway speed, in your personal car, and looking at social media, it was a nightmare waiting in line because they had to sign a waiver before you could go in. So that held things up. But once everybody got in, like once people were on the track and finished it, everybody was pretty excited about it. So I guess it was a pretty awesome deal.
I had daydreams about wiping you out.
So they did it last year, but they only did one lap and it was 35 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So this year they upped it. And I'm hoping they do it again next year. The only reason we didn't go, I was set. I had my schedule cleared, but it's a 2 hour and 15 minute drive down there for us. And because of COVID, I was going with my wife and my kids. We weren't going anywhere else. We were literally going to drive, you know, 4.5 hours during the day to go 5 laps around the track.
Yeah, and you got to make all those stops along the way for bathroom breaks and stuff. It's like,
as cool as it would have been, it just COVID made it not happen. So hopefully they do it again next year because I will totally be down for it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd love to do it. Yeah, maybe, Garrick, maybe we should do something where we reach out to them and, I don't know, do a live remote or something from there if COVID is not. I mean, it'd be so much fun
that's a good idea.
Go down there. I know, we got to start using our tools.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We totally do. I will give one more shout out to Lap Traffic Podcast, Brandon Crowd, who's my buddy from there. He met him down at MIS. Actually, I met him at Chicagoland, ironically enough, despite the fact we were both at MIS too. He's got a great podcast. Check him out if you haven't. That is one advantage that he has over us is like we just kind of do our thing here. Brandon is so good at reaching out to people and booking guests, and he's got drivers on his show all the time and stuff. And so, he's doing a good job down there.
I got one more shout out. Speaking of getting guests, I'm going to reach out to Derek because I'm going to message him and ask him if he wants to come on the show sometime.
All right.
Dude, my buddy Derek has iRacing and he beat Ryan Vargas at Talladega.
Wow.
And that's I sent you guys that video. I'm like, look at my buddy Derek.
That's cool.
Out there racing. And I was like, that's so cool that he was out there iRacing and he beat a NASCAR driver. So I wanted to talk to him about that, but I haven't had a chance to. But he's the guy, I think I shouted him out a few weeks ago when he went and got that door from Jimmy Johnson's car.
Yeah,
I'm like, he's like living the dream, man. He's got some cool stuff going on. So I'm going to reach out to him and see maybe if he wants to hop on an off-season episode and chat.
He's not married, is he?
No, he is not.
That's what it is, James. See? You know?
Yeah.
Some people.
I know he was at MIS this year, though, Eric. He was the guy who
there
was that picture, and he was out there on the camped out. So,
some guys have it figured out.
Yeah, some guys do have it figured out.
My wife listens to this podcast. I better cut that out.
Easy now. My wife's too busy. So,
there you go. Just kidding. No, I'm so damn close to pulling the trigger on iRacing, but I just don't have space for it either. So.
I know, dude. It is so cool. I'm like, he got a run on the outside going into turn three. Maybe I should find that link and share it again, because he got a run, and oh, man, it was cool. It was just cool. That's awesome.
Dude, they just announced Long Beach Grand Prix for iRacing. I was checking that out.
The Coca-Cola Raceway is coming.
Yes, that has me all excited. And then, you know, if I got iRacing, I probably wouldn't even run the Cup Series stuff. I would just run super late models everywhere. I love the super late models. Super late models and then the dirt stuff. That would be all me.
And your wife would leave you.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah.
Take the boys and you'd just be sitting there.
Maybe she'd be happy because I was not in her, not bothering her. So.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know.
That's
true. Probably not. Probably not. All right, let's wrap this up before I get myself in too much trouble and we can't do the podcast anymore, James. If people want to chat with you over the holidays, how can they do it on social media?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook, facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can check that out, find links to a bunch of old episodes, show notes, which have links to all the articles that we've discussed today and in past episodes, past race coverage, interviews, that sort of thing. Check that out. You can find the podcast on there as well. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud. I'm still in the works of figuring out what I'm going to do with hosting and stuff throughout the off season. So again, word of warning, if the feed goes really funky, it's because I changed something and hopefully it will go back to normal. If you want to help out the show and become a part of it, you can do that at Patreon. Become a patron at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. James, it's the holiday season. Christmas is coming. Maybe everybody will have some NASCAR stuff under the old Christmas tree. Maybe.
I hope so. That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. What's better than NASCAR stuff under the tree?
Nothing.
Like I said, we'll be back. Yeah, we'll be back after the holidays. Talk more, get us ready for the 2021 season. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year to everybody. And until next time, let's go racing.